So the word for today is hallelujah. It's highlighted up there in black. It's one of the, it is the first song I teach our preschoolers here at Preschool Chapel because there's not a lot of words to it. I know a few of you know this because I started singing it to test the microphone this morning and I stopped and I heard echoing out in the halls of people singing it back to me. But I'd like to try that with you and see if you know what to do. It goes like this. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. One more time. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Here's where it gets tricky. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Wow, wow. Please see Eric, or that was Eric. I was going to say, whoever that was, you need to join the choir, but I guess he's already there. Beautiful. The word hallelujah is a Hebrew word all over the Old Testament, and what it's actually two words joined together. The first is the word hallelujah, without the yah, and that's actually the imperative form of praise. So it's not just praise as a thing, it's you, praise, right? Or we say praise ye, but it's calling on people. Give praise to God, that's hallelujah. And then yah is the short form of the revealed name of God, Yahweh, that God spoke to Moses at the burning bush. And so to say hallelujah is to say give praise to the Lord, to Yahweh, the Lord. It's a commandment, an imperative, or an invitation. It's like, let's praise the Lord by name. So if you think about that as a very redundant song, right? We're saying give praise, give praise, give praise, give praise. Praise ye the Lord. Or we're doing it, right? So that was perfect, right? I was inviting you to do it. And you responded and did it in English. So the word appears a couple hundred times in the Old Testament, a little bit less in Scripture, in the New Testament, but the idea of praise is still throughout. We're going to look primarily this morning at the two Scripture readings, Psalm 148 and Revelation 19. But if you really want to dig into what is praise and what are examples of it, the book of Psalms is just loaded with praise, especially there at the end. It's like the last number of Psalms. 150 is another great psalm to look at. So today I want to talk with you about what praise is. When do we do it? Where do we do it? Why do we do it? What is it? And then I'm going to do a quick aside to look at a scene in the New Testament and then talk about some application for us. So we're going to start in Psalm 148, with when, where, and why. This is the psalm I read. If you look in your bulletin, it's interesting if you think about it. I think we can conceive of us praising God, because that's the kind of thing we talk about in a worship service, and we do. But this psalm was calling on everything except humans, right? Praise the Lord from the heavens, the heights, the sun and moon, you praise the Lord, right? The stars, you praise the Lord, the waters, everything God made, give praise to the Lord. And that should be a clue that what God has made reflects on the Creator, right? Oh, it's handy. We have some artwork up here. I don't remember which one of our youth painted this, but this is a piece of art, and it reflects on the one who created it. They are creative. They're imaginative. They are colorful. They are skilled. How much more does the universe itself reflect and give glory to God? Were we to read Psalm 150, it takes a different tact, and it goes through this long litany of places you can praise and methods by which you can praise. So it goes through praise God in the sanctuary, praise God, you know, at the seashore, praise God on the mountaintop. It names all these places, and then the super long list of praise God with the trumpet, praise God with the harp, which loosely translates to guitar, Praise God with the timbrel, with the stringed instruments, with the pipe, with the cymbal. And get this, Psalm 150 says this, and with more cymbals, right? So praise God with cymbals. I mean, David must have had a little drummer streak in him, right? Praise God with cymbals and with even more cymbals. We want lots of cymbals to praise the Lord. And Walker certainly embodied that this morning. So put those together and you get that everything and everyone in every place is invited and commanded and enjoined to give praise to the God who made everything, to our God, whose name we know. Hallelujah. Give praise to Yahweh. There, and the Psalm 150 ends much more concisely even than that by saying, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let's talk for a second about what it is. On a human level, it might be something as simple as, you know, going to watch your grandchild or child or, you know, friend in the church play a baseball game, and they played well, and afterwards you say, hey, great game. That's praise, right? You're praising them. You did well. You played hard. Great, great attitude. You look good today. You did well at that task or that job. That we give praise all the time. Maybe not as much as we should. But to compliment or to encourage people with our words, that's an example of praise. When I think about them praising God, you know, we do that when we sing. Perhaps when we pray to God, we might set aside a portion of our prayers to praise God. It's easy to kind of run together language of thanks and of love and of praise, maybe because we don't quite understand what praise is. It's all, as long as we're directing something good towards God, we think, well, that's praise, and we should do all those things. But Psalm 150, for me, gives a helpful definition to help us understand what does it mean, actually. If this is a thing we're supposed to do, praise God, what is that? Psalm 50 says, you know, in scripture lingo, praise God for his mighty deeds and praise God according to his excellent greatness. If I was going to do a Robert paraphrase of that, it would be praise God for what God has done and for who God is. Praise God for what he has done and for who he is. Praise is naming those things, celebrating those things, indeed being thankful for what God has done and who God is. But there's one other piece of praise that really comes out in the Psalms. It is possible to be alone and to praise God. But in a huge, overwhelming majority of examples of praise, it's always done in community. It's done publicly. So I want to add another piece of praise besides celebrating who God is and what God has done. It's doing it publicly with other people. That's a scene from our community garden from a few years back. Celebrating God caused these things to grow. Let's come together and work together for God's glory, to share food with other people, to serve other people, that kind of thing. One point of praise is that it be heard and that it be witnessed. Because, not because we want credit or glory. Absolutely, it's not for our glory, but it's so that people will be drawn to and see God. So I shared a similar sermon a couple of years ago. And I had a kind of goofy acronym, but I couldn't come up with anything better, so I'm going to share it again today. Praise is raising God's name up in front of other people, right? So a public raising up of this is who God is, this is what God has done. So if you put public with raise, you know, a little acronym, it's P, raise, praise. See, it's going to help you remember it, even if it is goofy. Praise, P, raise is publicly raising God's name up. Since the youth have always called me P-Rob, I figure that's a fair enough acronym to come up with. So I want to take a quick aside. This wasn't one of our scripture readings, but there is a scene in Luke 19. It's Palm Sunday in Luke 19, and Jesus is riding in on a donkey into Jerusalem. The crowds are going wild because they believe and they're celebrating. This is the Messiah. He's doing the things that the Messiah is supposed to do, and they were praising God for finally bringing the Messiah. And so while all that celebration, that praise was going on, the Pharisees, tried to shut down the disciples and say, hush, don't stop what you're doing. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, if these people become silent, even the stones will cry out. And I used to think, well, that's a weird, was he just shaming them? Like, you know, if the people can't manage it, I mean, the rocks can do that much, right? I don't think that's it at all. I think Jesus had in mind Psalm 148 and Psalm 150 that all of creation is already singing the praises of God, declaring God is good, God is great. This is who God is, and this is what God has done. And the very least that we can do as humans is just join in that. It's this, why would you try to make this, it's a huge crowd, but this small bit of creation be quiet when everything around you, even the rocks, are declaring how great God is and what God has done. That's why in Psalm 148, the sun and moon and stars and stones, they all praise God, right? They are public demonstrations of who God is and what God has done in creation. Last time I preached on this and shared some of these things, I don't know if you remember when this was, but we had an eclipse in Charlotte. I think it was around 2017 or so, because our family went out here and did the pinhole boxes and all that. And I think we even had a picture come through our Facebook memories recently. But I remember, like, it was that next Sunday in church, I was talking about praise, and I said the eclipse was interesting. It was such a dramatic display of the size of the universe, but also the precision of, you know, our moon has to be a certain distance from the Earth in order to cover over the sun. If it were if it were further away, that wouldn't happen, that kind of thing. And my experience was, as people were talking about the eclipse, people of faith would kind of marvel, God made all this. Isn't that amazing? But even people of no faith or little faith, or who wouldn't tend to ascribe things to God, were kind of awed by this natural phenomenon. And not that they started praising God, but it was like, that's really amazing. You know, isn't nature wonderful? Isn't the universe awesome and amazing? And it drew them to an attitude and language of praise, even if it didn't land, you know, squarely on the Lord. And I think about, you know, from the immensity of galaxies in the universe down to the smaller than micro construction of atomic and subatomic particles and the cells and molecules. I mean, just all the intricacy at the tiny level and the huge level. And as a person of faith, I mean, Christy talked about, what do you do when you see this tree? I mean, when I have encountered all of those bits of the world God has made, it just makes my jaw drop. I mean, that doesn't even give it enough. You know, it's like my jaw falls off my face. I mean, it's just, whoa, God, it's amazing the intricacy of all of this. And it's a side note. I just thought of this now. You know, often science and religion are kind of pitted against each other, but some of the most profound professions of faith I've heard are from physicists or biologists who deal with these things, who are drawn to the hand of God behind all this, to say, this just cries out to me that there is a maker and a creator. All of that to say, with the Psalms, creation declares who God is and what God has done. So I want to end with, maybe what do we do with all this, other than, you know, I never want us just to walk away with, well, now I understand a little bit more about a word or a thing. But what difference does it make in our life? Because I believe Scripture teaches us that praise is an essential activity, a vital activity for us. So a couple of things. First, it's not vital because God needs the affirmation. You might think that. Well, why is God making such a big deal about praising him? Well, it's not because he needs it. We're wired that way. I mean, we really like affirmation. But God is not self-absorbed in the way that we are. The reason praise is vital is because it's how we engage with who God is and what God has done. It's where we worship, where we connect with God and we behold God to you know, the very limited extent we can. It's it's like telling someone you love them, right? It forges relationship and it makes connection. That's why praise is so vital for us. It's also living out our faith publicly, right? I'm not saying, well, this is interesting. In my previous church years ago, there was a man who apparently had a very normal day job, but at the end of the day and on weekends, he would go out in the middle of the Main Street intersection in the small town, dressed in robes with a trumpet, and he would just shout praises to God and blow his trumpet. And you kind of thought, well, see, just a little bit not all there, but some of our church members went and talked to him one time. He just said, I feel like I should praise God publicly. He came to one of our Sunday school classes and had a very engaging conversation. I'm not suggesting that that's how you go praise God, you know, stand out in Providence Road with the instrument of your choice. But Scripture does teach that praise has a very public component to it. So how we live, how we speak, how we act, how we serve, how we care, how we look out for those who are vulnerable, how we present God outside the walls of this room, all reflect on God. It is all how we praise or don't praise God. So it's essential. And this is a variation on a question I like to ask. But praise asks, what is God doing in the world he loves? And how do I join into that? It's like, I want to be part of what God's doing. If praise is focused on who God is, what God's doing, then praise is entering into that, right? Going along with God. Even more succinctly, I think Jesus summed all this up very nicely in a statement in Matthew 5, where he said, let your light, that's your life and your witness and your words and your actions, let your light shine before others in such a way that they may see your works, but he doesn't end there, so that you may glorify your Father in heaven. It's never, look at me, what I'm doing. It's, look at God, right? I'm loving you. I'm caring for you. I'm helping you. I'm speaking to you because God is great. And can I, you don't even have to use words, but how can I point people to the good and great God who made us all and who loves us? That's the heart of praise. It may start in a room like this where we're singing about God and about what God has done and celebrating God. But it really begins when we walk out the door. So how will you praise today? You've already sung beautifully. We're going to sing a little bit more before we're done. The real work starts outside the door. How will your words and your actions publicly raise up praise God? And if you kind of draw a blank on that, take a little time and pray. Speak to God and say, God, would you show me? What does it mean to praise you outside of the sanctuary building? I can't envision that. I think that is a prayer that is an easy one that God desires. I think God will show you maybe more than you want to know, but God will say, look, yeah, you can praise me here. You can praise me there. So I want to pray that for us and end with that. Let's pray. God, your scriptures call us to praise. They give us examples of praise. They show us really that it has no bounds in terms of when or where or how, as long as it is lifting up who you are and what you've done. I would ask you to stretch our imagination and our expression and our desire to praise you, that it not just be our faith, not just be a private personal thing, but we grow in willingness to point people to you, to reflect who you are in all that we do outside of this building. And I pray for anyone who is struggling to envision what that would be, that you would present a simple and easy way to see and do that this week, this day. We love you. We do praise you. You are a good and great and holy God, and we thank you for your redemption and salvation and your mercy and grace and just the multitude of, of blessings that you have poured out into this world and on the likes of us. And so we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.